years ago, my cousin Joe, come from Oklahoma, started Virginia Street Baptist Church, and he was a bad diabetic. And he was praying, and he said, "Lord," said, "the doctor wants me to eat a teaspoon of honey every morning. And I don't like store-bought honey. I wondered if you could give me some good fresh honey." And if you know my cousin Joe, he was a prayer warrior. There's no doubt he was a prayer warrior. So, there so went by, and the phone rung, said, "Brother Joe," said, "we need honey, would you?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I got some for you." So Joe said, "All right, I'll be down to get it." And he went down to get it, and they had 4 55-gallon drums. He was raising honey for the welfare department. And they paid him for it and didn't need the honey, so they paid him for it. And he wanted to give it to Cousin Joe. So Cousin Joe got 2 ton of honey. All he wanted was a teaspoon. And so when I think of anybody getting honey, the Lord always gives us far above than what we ask or need. And I reckon Junior gives honey to everybody in West Virginia. I know he did us, but that was Joe Junior, and that was the way he did. So I appreciate the Lord tonight. All right, is everybody all right? I'm going to give you a few thoughts tonight, and I want you to listen. And I'm not being a smart aleck tonight. I want you to listen carefully to the message. And the start of it, I'm trying not to be sarcastic. I want to prove a point if I can. I want to preach up to us. I don't never want to be guilty of preaching down to you or down to myself. I'm not doing that. I'm trying to get us to think. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? This morning when I was preaching, I was not preaching down to you at reality. We've got to get back down on planet Earth and see the reality of life, reality of church and the Lord. And I'm going to tell you again tonight that the Lord is all that you need. If you lose everything, I don't care if you don't have a dime and you got to live in a cave. If you got the Lord, He's going to take care of you. If nothing else, He'll take you out of here. But He's in control, and we must believe on the Lord. Hard times are not coming. Hard times are here. Bad days are not coming. Bad days are here. Perilous times are not coming. It was coming when Paul wrote to Timothy, but they're here now. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to depend on the Lord. We've got to have the Lord. And I want you to understand that. I want to encourage you, tell you, preach to you, whatever it is. We've got to have the Lord. And part of the Lord is the church. We're going to need the church. We need the church now. We needed the church in days gone by. And we need the church now. And I want to preach to you just for a minute on the church tonight. So, everybody all right? Father, help us tonight. We need you. Open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our heart that we might understand. Lord, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to preach. And I do think of what Doug Hawley told us. Lord, use it even tonight. Give us ears to hear with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, give us an understanding with the power of the Holy Spirit tonight as well. And may we praise you in Jesus' name. I ask all this. And amen. The church is more important now than ever before. And I thought in the last 2 days of all the people that could not go to church this morning because they didn't have a church to go to. What would we do if we didn't have a church to go to? What would we do on Sunday morning if they called and said the church is gone? We can't assemble. The weather's too bad. We can't do nothing. We'll never have another building. We can't do doing? What would we do without coming together? What would we do without a church? It would break my heart not to have a church to come to. Think about that. Can I tell you, I can do without a grocery store. Most of my groceries are paper products. When I go to the store, I eat out of the cupboard, all right, for things we put up and things in a freezer. So I can do without. If they tell me the store's destroyed, I say, man, that's bad. But I would not get shook up. If they told me the hospital was destroyed, I said, man, that's awful. I hope I don't get sick, but I'm not going to get tore up. All right? I just won't get sick. But if they tell me the church is gone, I said, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got to have the church. The church is that important. And I'm afraid that it's not. And it's not just, it may be to us, but it's not to the world. Someone just mentioned in prayer room tonight about someone was asked to come to church, and they said, I don't want to. I don't want to go to church. Well, there's people today all over. I don't want to go to church. I don't want nothing to do with the church. And help us never to be like that. We better take advantage of the church, that what God has given us. We don't want to take the church for granted. I'll give you a few thoughts here, and I've got a few slides I want to show you and give you some scripture and we'll go home. But the church is important. And I got this off, I copied this right off the internet. All right, so I want to make sure everybody had some truth. All right, the church is important for many reasons, including for the community. The church is a place where people can come together to worship and pray and support each other. It's a place where people can learn to love and accept one another, and where they can find God's love and healing. Well, I thought that was wonderful. Huh? The church is important because of growth in faith. The church is a place where people can grow in their faith and learn to live their lives in light of their relationship with God. Well, man, that's good. The church is for the spread of the gospel. The church helps us to spread the gospel and love around the world. You know, of all three things already, all I've seen is love. Yeah, we still okay with that. Then it said the church is so important because of the representation of God that it gives. It's a representation of God's will and purpose in the world. It's a place where we can nurture the spiritual gifts that God gives. Where we can discover and nurture and use the spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. I said, man, that's all real good. I thought that was pretty good coming right off the computer. A support system. The church provides a support system for its members. It provides a place of teaching correct doctrines. Ensures that the correct doctrines are taught. Well, I thought that was good. And then it said the church is a good place to encounter God, where people can encounter God's presence. Well, if that's what the computer will tell us, I said, well, that's pretty good. I can find more than that in the Bible about how important the church is tonight. But I'm afraid everybody's thoughts or mentality is not the same. And listen, if this is not you, then don't worry about it. Okay, if one will show you, if this ain't you, that's fine. But I am going to tell you, this is how things are viewed in a lot of ways. All right? Is everybody all right? Am I ready? Yes. All right. The Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We'll give you a text tonight. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And this is our text verse tonight. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that's what we want to dwell on tonight, just for a little bit, is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I mentioned to you the other night that we need, as John wrote to the churches there in Revelation, that we ought to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. We better make sure we maintain, that we take care of, that we continue to grow the church. The church is important. The church is important. And let's look. Now, what the church should be. This is what I think. When I think of the church, what the church should be, okay? And see if you can agree with me. All right? Saving lives. Can y'all, anybody agree with me that the church is good about saving lives? Shouldn't we major on that? Y'all agree to that? Huh? How about searching for souls? Huh? Would that be good if the church, if that's what we're doing, saving lives and searching for souls? Eh? Don't you think that's a good purpose of the church? We all right? Huh? How about keeping people out of the fire? Huh? I think that'd be good. I think, to me, that's the church. Is that all right with y'all? Can y'all agree to that? Huh? Now, churches where great crowds sing praise unto the Lord our God. Don't that look good? People stand there singing praise to the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? Huh? How about our hands coming to the church with our hands lifted up in praise? I believe, to me, that's what the church ought to be. It ought to be saving lives and searching for souls and keeping people out of the fire, singing praise unto the Lord, holding up hands to praise. I mean, I think that's the church. You agree?
Yeah.
Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
But this is what I'm afraid church is to many. May not be to none of you, but this is what it is to many. All right? It's a great crowd watching a select few perform as if it's a game. I'm afraid that's what it is to many. Because only a few get involved. And the majority watch. Okay? And then we got those who are able to go to church but choose to stay on watch live stream. Notice they're watching the same game. Huh? Not being a smart guy, I'm just telling you this is the view of people. May not be you, I'm talking about this, the view of people. Okay? We okay? Then people like those and they. You know, when somebody tells you something, they said those. That's them people we're talking about. We all right? But this is what it really is. Now that's how it's viewed. What I showed you is how it's viewed. But can I tell you, in a lot of ways, this is the way it is. Can you see that fella on that bronc? That's a picture of a pastor trying to keep the church people out of the world. That's really the truth. That's really the truth. Huh? How about this? That's the average counseling session with the pastor. Just a circus. Huh? What are they? Just a complete circus. Not trying to be funny. It is funny, but it ain't trying to be funny. Sunday morning interest and excitement. You know what's even funnier is you can find pictures to match all this. Don't tell me it's not on people's minds or they wouldn't be pictures to match it. Correct? Well, I don't know which is sadder. Somebody that looks for it or somebody that finds it. Huh? Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? The Church of the Living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm afraid that's done. I'm done with that. You can go back to Scripture now. But I want you to understand tonight the church is important. I believe we ought to stick with the saving lives, and we ought to stick with the searching for souls, and we ought to stick with keeping them out of the fire, and we ought to stick with the singing of praise unto our God, and we ought to stick with holding up hands of praise to the Lord for what He is, what He does. I believe that's what we ought to stick to. And we ought to try to maybe get shut of some of these other things. It would be a lot easier if Christians would live like Christians. And it would be a lot easier that if we didn't have to fight the world in our lives, that we would determine to stay out of the world, that we would be scriptural in our belief and in our action, where it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, the Bible does say that. The Bible does say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. The Bible does say that friendship with the world is enmity with God. You know, the Bible says all these things in many places, and it would be so much better if we would heed to it. But when I think about the church, why is the church important? Well, I want to get your mind. Where we're at. Everybody with me now? Is your mind with me tonight? Talk to me if you're with me. Go back to the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is not the building, but the church is us and the assembling of ourselves together. And if we didn't have a building, it would be sad, but if we could still meet out in the parking lot, then it would be better than nothing. But can I tell you, when we speak of the church, the house of God, I believe it to be important tonight. I believe it to be important. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And we know these scriptures, none of these scriptures are new. It ain't been that long ago that I preached on the church in similar areas of this. But the church is so important tonight. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I say unto thee, this is Jesus speaking, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against. I'm not concerned about the church completely being disintegrated or deteriorated. The Lord's going to keep the things going. But can I tell you, we need to do what we can to build the church, because the church is important. And that's us tonight. That's us. But can I tell you, Jesus said, I will build my church. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him, and He's not going to let it go wrong. He's not going to let it go sour. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The importance of the church. Acts chapter 20 is created by Christ. The church didn't start by man. It started by the Lord. In fact, the church couldn't even start till Christ arose from the dead. It couldn't start before then, or would not have had no head. All right? Think about this. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He has purchased with His own blood. Can I tell you, we're part of something that is bought by Christ, and it's not some little meaningless thing, but it's a vast, important thing that you as a believer are part of tonight. It's important. It needs to be important to your life. It needs to be important to your children's life. It needs to be important to your grandchildren's life. But I'm afraid we're losing it down through the generations. I mean, let me go back to my great-grandparents. If I go back to my great-grandparents, there weren't no vehicles. And everyone walked or rode a horse or a buggy to church, but they were faithful, and it was hard. All the country churches around, and some of you know this, they all had a church bell, and they would ring the church bell an hour before service started. Now, it wasn't a traditional thing. It was a purpose thing because people had to get there. Everybody didn't have they may have had clocks or a watch, but it wasn't the same. So they would ring the bell an hour early and people would start to the church house. And there's churches that still do that today, that still ring the bell and everybody drives and they're still late. But these, there where I live in Mount Lookout, the church is 2 miles on one end of Mount Lookout to the church and 2 miles on the other end. Church is dead center, right in the center of the community. And it'll take you about an hour if you're walking from one end to the other to get there. They would ring the church bell an hour early, and it was important to the people. It was important. As time went on, and then I go back to my grandparents, everybody was still faithful to church. You didn't miss. You was there. The church was a part of life. Everything centered on the church. When revival come, you didn't have school. You went to church. You had morning service and evening service. Revival was more important than church than school was. Everybody went. Even lost people would go. Everybody was important. It was the church. Why? Because it was what God had made. I believe we need to get back in our mind that the church is what Christ has built and purchased with His blood, and it's important that we be a part of the church. It's important. Now let's look on. The church is more than we realize. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Did you realize that the church is the center of accountability for a Christian? The church is the center of accountability for a Christian. And you know, we don't do church discipline anymore because nobody would go to church. I mean, that's sad to say. If they was really church discipline like the Bible says, people will just quit. We're not going to be told what to do. Huh? Matthew 18. Huh? Let's look here. Verse 17. Well, let's start at verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Well, that's unheard of. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And that's unheard of. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. That's not heard of anymore. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee a heathen man and a publican. See, in verse 17 it says, tell it to the church. That's the center of accountability. The church ought to be the center of accountability that we live right. This ain't nothing nobody even wants hardly to say amen to. Because we don't want to be accountable because we want to live our own way, do our own thing. But the Bible has laid down a strict thing with the church that if we went by it, can I tell you that this church would be full, this church would be spiritual, this church would have the power of God, if it was done like the Scripture said. Did you know that? The church is created and birthed by Christ and created by Christ, and it is the center of accountability. It's the center of ministry. Acts chapter 15. We can give you many scriptures. We just chose a couple here. Can I tell you where we're at today? We're in a day. We're living in a day that people want to minister, but they want to minister freelance. They don't want to minister through the church, through that where their accountability. They want to do their own thing. Everybody wants to have their own ministry. You see it on vans and buggies and buses and it's ministries. And none of it's affiliated with a local church. Well, I'm going to tell you, if it's not affiliated with a local church, it's not of God. I don't care who's doing it. It's not of God. It's not scriptural. Okay? But that's just the way it is. I know people don't necessarily believe it nowadays, but look in verse 22 in chapter 15 of Acts. It says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. The church, the apostles that were leading everything, they said, let's do it, but the church said to do it. Because the church is the head of the ministry. It's not individually, it's the church that's the center of the ministry. And he said, why are you telling us all this? I want to show you the importance of the church. You're not just a part of just a club. This is the church, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. And these are forgotten teachings. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. It says, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. The needs come. The church heard about the needs. And because the church heard about the needs, then they sent relief. The ministry all comes through the local church. I can give you many, many more verses, but I don't know that it's necessary. We okay? We still okay? So the church, created by Christ, it's the center of Christ. Can I tell you that? It's His bride. Huh? It's the center of accountability. It's the center of ministry. The church is the center of teaching the Word of God. Now, we ought to teach the Word of God in our home, sure. But can I tell you, the church is the center of where the truth comes from to be taught in the home. Huh? Look in Acts chapter 11 again. We'll stay right there. And look at verse 26. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It says they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. They didn't just assemble together. They assembled together with the church. The church is important. The church needs to be important to your life. It needs to be a priority in your life. It's a help to you. It's a help to your family. Huh? When I think about the church, I told you about great-grandparents and then grandparents. Can I tell you that my parents, even though they were godly people, can I tell you they were things that slacked off? And then it slacks off further with me and my generation. And then if things are not worked on, then the next generation, every generation lessens. Then the importance of the church is not there. Becomes take it or leave it. If I'm not busy, okay. And our schedules are not made around the church. Our lives are not planned around the church. We plan with the low areas in our life and use church as a filler. That's where we're at today. The church is not important as it used to be. Huh? David said, I was glad when they said it to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But can I tell you, it's rare that we even testify about how glad we're here. Matt Nicholas said in the prayer room a while ago, he said, I think we ought to have a time of thanksgiving because we got a church to go to tonight. But can I tell you, we got one to go to every time. Not just because there's a storm down south. We ought to be thankful. We still okay? We're just talking about this church, just general preaching. Okay, this is a lot different pointed preaching, ain't it? This is just general preaching. Huh? The center of accountability, the center of the ministry, the center of the teaching of the Word of God. It's the center of helping others. The center of helping others. Look in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. I'll be the first thing. When somebody needs help, it's ought to be the first thing done. Since Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'll be the first thing we do is pray, then go help. But can I tell you that if we'll pray first before we rush to help, maybe we won't help in ways we would have done if we hadn't prayed. Did you know that sometimes the church gets in God's way? Do you know sometimes we get in God's way from helping? The Lord is chastening or trying to discipline, and we run and stick our nose where it don't belong. With relief, where God is trying to get attention. Is everybody understanding what I'm saying? I'm not saying not be benevolent. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we ought not be benevolent to people in need. I'm just saying we need to pray first and have the leadership of the Lord before we stick our nose in God's business. Huh? Does everybody understand that tonight? I'm not saying not to be benevolent. Does everybody understand that? I'm not saying not to be giving. I'm just saying that sometimes, even with our families, with our children, with people, we dabble where we don't belong. And we break the hand, the chastening hand of God. But does everybody understand what I'm preaching tonight? That's not preached very often. Huh? We still okay? The church is a center of the example of the love of Christ. If a church is so important, what is the one thing that's more important than the church? Can anybody answer that? How about the home? Would you think that the home started before the church, did it not? Can I tell you that the church, though, is an example of love? Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's an example of the center of the love of Christ that he makes an example of the church in our home. Sound to me like the church is pretty important. Is it important to us tonight? Is it? Huh? Think about that. And the church tonight needs to be the priority of not just us, but that's the whole world. And we'll go back to 1 Timothy and we'll quit. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. You know, it's amazing how this is written. Chapter 3 is the qualifications for the pastor and the deacons. And it's all on how we're supposed to live because of the church. Huh? And verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I just wanted to give you some thoughts tonight on the importance of the church. Mountain State Baptist Church is important to me. I hope it's important to you. Mountain State Baptist Church is my life. I don't have no thought of going nowhere else. Don't have no desire to go nowhere else. I want to come here to feed and fellowship with you and feed on the Word of God. You're necessary to me. I hope tonight our church is important. If not, maybe we need to rethink some things. Get back to where the church is important. I need the church. The Raines family, Doug Raines and his family, Preacher Doug Raines, during COVID. His daughter, some of y'all may have watched the Raines family on YouTube, and very talented singing, playing piano and fiddles and everything. And Doug Raines is a great man. I'm with him every time I go to Biddy's and preach down in Georgia. Just lost everything there in Henderson, North Carolina. They just lost everything they've got, I reckon. They're in Nashville and Henderson. But his daughter wrote a song on I Need the Church. They wrote it during COVID when nobody was going to church. I need this church. I have in my phone, I come here to church and we during COVID, there wasn't nobody here. And I reminded you of it. And the ladies, at least some of them, they, everywhere you're sitting tonight, they took a paper with your name on it, and that's where they taped it to the seats of where you're at. And when I come here and looked, it was a blessing to see your names, but it was so sad that you weren't there. One of the hardest times of our church was the 6 weeks that we didn't assemble. Hardest times, I believe, of our church, the 6 weeks we didn't assemble. We lost ground that we'll never get back. Never. Never get it back. Whether we should have or not is immaterial. But the importance of the church is what I'm trying to get us to see. That means you are important. You are. You understand it? You are. You're important. Your place, your talent, your time, you are important to this community, to each other, but you're important to the Lord. Don't forget that. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the blood that bought us. Now, Lord, help us to live like we ought to. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen.